Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Yachting Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
It is a beautiful day of life here on the Yachting Confusion Show. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, sir. Hello. I, of course, am your host, Charlie, and I'm joined once again by the prolific counter himself, Zelios.
Yeah!
Sup, Zelios.
You know, it's just another day of paradise trying to survive this crazy world of unknown futures and past.
Unknown futures? Damn it. I must know.
But if you knew what the future was, would it really be the future or does it make it the past?
But if it still has yet to begin.
But it's happened in your own existence if you are to know about it. Otherwise, how do you know of it?
Oh, God. We're getting crazy now.
That's the beauty of life. Is it not getting crazy and breaking the brain cells so you don't know what the correct answer is?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Can I get back to you?
In that case, I'm just going to drink.
Can I get back to you on that one?
Thank you, may I have another.
Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, this of course is a Thursday Night Hangout. This is a show for you, by you, where you, ladies and gentlemen, give us the topics, the questions, the discussion points, and we valiantly try to cover them as best we can.
Oh, the valiant shall be fierce. It'll be a fight to the death of who is wrong and right, and we're all always wrong, so yeah. We always lose.
So let's start off with an easy one, and that is, of course, Nintendo coming out and saying, oh yeah, by the way, we posted a report of an unauthorized login on April 24th, but as a result of continuing the investigation after that, there were approximately 140,000 additional Nintendo Network IDs that may have been accessed maliciously. It turned out that it was. We have also reset the passwords for those 140,000 Nintendo Network IDs and the Nintendo accounts that were linked with them and contacted the customer separately. At the same time, we are taking additional security measures. Less than 1% of all Nintendo Network IDs around the world that may have been illegally logged in may have actually been fraudulently traded through their Nintendo account. We are still in the process of refunding in each country, but we have already finished refunding for most customers.
So, just for reference, mm-hmm. the Nintendo Switch has sold approximately 55 million consoles. Mm-hmm. So, at 140,000 Nintendo IDs, that's about 2.5% of, you know, if you figure it, I know there's assumptions being made there,
right.
But that's approximately 2.5%, which to me is actually a lot, if that's actually an accurate number. But I think to me, the moral of the story is always use a network two-factor authentication at all times.
Yep.
On all your accounts to make sure that, you know, in case something does happen to your password, it is compromised, there's a fail-safe. Another good bet, and this is what I do in my Switch now, is I don't actually store my credit card information anymore. I just basically have the gift cards that I purchase, and I load that onto my account. So if anything does get compromised, the worst case scenario is I'm out, you know, some bucks on the gift card, but I'm not actually out money.
Yep.
So that's kind of the steps I have taken, at least for myself on the Nintendo, once I kind of learned of some of the more nefarious, unfortunate actions that have been happening.
Nefarious.
No, instead of like playing the game of hacking, just go play a video game.
I know. But to be honest with you, I mean, we knew that this number was going to continue to climb. I'm not super duper surprised. But at the same time, you know, I'm glad it's not worse than that, I guess.
It could always be worse, unfortunately. This is a true fact of life.
Yeah. But, you know, so hopefully that's it, you know. But I guess we'll find out when Nintendo... I don't think Nintendo's ever going to give another number. I hope they don't give another number.
Who knows? I mean, I think we know, at least I know, mm-hmm. the online presence is not exactly Nintendo's strong suit.
Yes.
It's so actually, you know what I really hate?
What's that?
The eStore when they transitioned over to like the little preview cards. Where like, so it used to be a Nintendo Switch on the eStore, right?
Yep.
You'd see all of your little tiles, you'd see like the one screen preview.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, if you wanted to press the button, you could get into it. Not terrible. Now, though, when you're like on the e-screen, like whatever is the 9 or 12 tiles you see, they're continuously like trying to like cycle through like basically the preview.
And it's when it's highlighted.
Well, sorry, you're right. If it's highlighted, yes, you're right. But even then, it has caused a lot of extra lag for me on the e-store with the whole extra like little preview method that's going on.
I'll be totally honest with you. I wish that I actually enjoy that, sort of. Mm-hmm. There's a caveat to it. Okay. I enjoy it because I get to, you know, kind of see. Sometimes the game art is very deceptive. And so mm-hmm. being able to, you know, see a little, you know, cut scene of whatever kind of gives me an idea of what I'm actually getting into. I do wish that, you know, it was a button toggle. Be like, you hit this one. Sounds interesting. You do, instead of having to jump all the way into the page. But then again, you know, I've also got the issue of there are going to be times where I may want to buy more than one game at a time.
Ooh.
Do not make me buy one and then have to search through the big-ass list. Yes, because I'm not going to actually search by, thank you, Distillation. I'm not going to search by the actual title of the game, because chances are like, oh, that looks cool. I'll be right back for it. I won't actually remember what the name is, or I'll spell it wrong, which is another issue with most stores. If you actually misplace a letter or replace a letter, then you'll never find it.
Or have a built-in notification for your wish list when games are on sale.
They do have that.
I've never got a notification for my wish list.
I did.
Like on email or what?
Yeah, email.
Really? Mm-hmm. I guess maybe my setting's not correct.
Maybe it's going to your spam filter.
Everything just goes to my spam filter. It's so much easier then.
Of course. Jumping from Nintendo's online, Nintendo's online attack. Let's talk a little bit about some more online stuff, and that of course is centered around a topic that's become very, very popular, at least on the Ultra Confusion show, and that deals with Overwatch.
Overwatch?
Yes, Overwatch's hero pools are being removed from competitive play.
Oh, interesting. I guess they people did not appreciate the hero pools, which was basically the predominance of what I heard. I haven't played Overwatch in quite some time, but I still pay attention to the forums and what's the discussion. And for the most part, pretty much everyone that I know hated the actual pools. Because basically, like, it created a stagnation of the meta for that week is what ended up happening. And people would just stop playing if their hero was banned. So, right. Like, that was the whole idea, right? So people would, you know, let's just say, I forget how long the season is. I'm just throwing on a number. It's 4 weeks long, right? So that first week, let's just say your DPS main is banned that week. The idea was, okay, people now play other DPS players that week. No, people just didn't play that week because they don't want to kill their SR rating, which SR is their strength rating, which is basically your ranking for competitive ranking. And they didn't want to tank it and go back down to some ELO level, which they felt was crazy. An interesting idea I saw, which is like, huh, that's actually fascinating, is so I get where Blizzard was coming from, right? Mm-hmm. I can also say, like, okay, at least Blizzard realized it wasn't working and they are going back to trying something. I don't know what they're going to do, but at least they're recognizing that it's not working. So I give them a little bit of props for that and not just kind of like digging their heels in any worse.
Right.
But an interesting idea I saw, I don't think it'll ever actually happen, is what about random bans? And obviously, so like Overwatch is a role game.
Yep.
So you have, you know, 2 DPS, 2 healers, and 2 tanks.
Yep.
And this can go for other role games too. So every match, let's just say randomly, it's just totally random. 1 tank, 1 support, and 1 DPS were just banned at random.
What do you think
of that?
I don't like it at all. I do not like it at all. Because chances are that would create a different imbalance.
I just thought it was an interesting idea because excuse me.
Don't die on me, please.
Because you have no reason like not to play because you know what the ban is, but now it really forces you to stretch yourself. So if you get a play, you know, if let's just say the only DPS you play is Reaper, the shotgunny guy, and he gets banned that match, now you have to stretch your pool a little bit and try somebody else. I thought it was an interesting idea. It'll never happen. Like, no, I don't think it's going to happen. I was just like,
I think that that would cause more mayhem than the hero pools, to be honest with you.
Maybe that's the point. Cause mayhem to force players to branch out.
So Blizzard came out with a brief update this past Monday. We've been listening to your feedback and constantly iterating on the feature behind the scenes. We initially implemented hero pools to address issues with stagnating metas and to keep matchups exciting and fresh. However, we found that the introduction of experimental card and increased hero balance updates has helped us work towards a healthy changing meta in competitive play without needing to disable heroes.
Yeah. So be interesting to see what they decide to try now, I guess.
Yeah. Well, of course, right now, let's see here. This coming Saturday, hero pools will make an appearance for the first 2 weeks of the Overwatch League. The first 2 weeks of each Overwatch League tournament cycle. Wait, what?
Wait, say one more time.
Okay, let me. Because this got me confused. Okay, so one more time. It says, beginning on Saturday, hero pools will make an appearance for the first 2 weeks of each Overwatch League tournament cycle.
Okay, so that's just the Overwatch League only, but only the first 2 weeks.
Of the tournament.
That's confusing? Fascinating? I don't know what that is.
Hold on, let's see what this.
That seems weird.
Blah, blah, blah. Okay, so there's, so you go in. So I'm quickly trying to read. Trying to figure out how many weeks there are in this thing.
I actually don't know, to be honest.
Okay, so qualifier is June 28th. And then the knockout rounds start on July the 3rd. And then quarterfinals are the 4th. Semifinals and the finals are on the 5th. So if it's the first 2 weeks, that's the entire tournament. It's not the first two matches, the first 2 weeks. So that's the tournament. I mean, that's the whole thing. Just say you did the whole thing.
I don't know. It seems like they're really trying really hard to, obviously,
to be silly and stupid. I mean, I can't think of something that's not silly or stupid, so I'm going to hold my tongue on that one.
Yeah. I feel like at this point, it comes down to Overwatch. I really think, short of basically reworking how the heroes work and almost going the MOBA route, I'm not really sure that hero pools are going to actually do anything. Kind of doing the style that they're doing. Right. I think they've tried. They've seen if it works. The overwhelming response to the community is it's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
So I think at this point, you know, they've kind of tried out the different ideas. And I feel like that's kind of, you know, if they're going to do anything else, that would almost be the next thing.
Right.
Would really be, you know, doing something to the heroes to make it more dynamic, basically. So it's not just the same thing every match, basically. That's just kind of my two cents. But yeah, what do I know, man?
I don't know. Anyways, we'll see what happens. I would have put a positive spin on this, so I'm going to say, how much worse can it get? I mean, the thing is, right now, I mean, Valorant is basically kicking everyone in the nuts.
Well, it's the flavor of the month. I mean, you know, when PUBG first came out, it was like, oh my gosh, PUBG! And then you had, what was the one that overtook PUBG that other kids are playing? Fortnite, thank you. Then Fortnite came out and everybody was like, oh my god, Fortnite! So that's just kind of, you know, it's the flavors, and that's kind of what tends to happen with these esports games. And then you have to figure out how to make it go on, and that's what games like a
League of Legends,
thank you, has done so well. Is they've remained basically the top dog for years now, which is pretty amazing. I mean, you've had the games like Heroes of the Storm, you've had Dota 2, and other MOBAs that have tried to overtake them, and they just haven't been able to. So, yeah, now everybody's trying kind of their hand at the FPS realm to be like, how can we overtake or become the new king of FPSs? Because that definitely seems to be, you know, and I'm kind of lumping FPS and Battle Royale is kind of into the same little here, the
what
same
about
blender.
Card games? I mean, you had Legends of Runeterra come out. I mean, yep. Hearthstone has been the defending champion, and it looks like, unfortunately, another Blizzard product gets kicked in the nuts by another Riot Games product.
I mean, I feel like in this case, Legends of Runeterra, from my, you know, I haven't played it as much as you,
yep.
But it feels like it has some, just my initial feeling. You know, I did play Hearthstone. I played Legends. I just felt like Legends had a better flow to the game.
Yes.
And more dynamicness than Hearthstone. So I just kind of felt like from my playing that Legends of Runeterra actually, I'm not saying they're going to overtake Hearthstone. I think Hearthstone's going to continue to have its place. But it feels like Legends of Runeterra really has an opportunity to basically be king, of the digital CCCG world.
Yeah.
It's a well-made game, and Riot Games obviously has shown that they know how to make well-done esports games.
Yup.
So yeah, I think Legends of Runeterra, I think that's going to be around for a while.
I'm trying to quickly look and see what the categories. Hold on, see here.
Of esports games.
League of Legends. No, I'm just trying to see on Twitch right now. League of Legends has 156,000 active viewers right now. Valorant has 54,000. Apex Legend has 27,500. Overwatch has 19,800. WoW has 38,900. Where the hell is Legends of Runeterra? This is such an arbitrary. Oh, it's sorted by recommendations for you, but I'm not signed in, so I'm not exactly sure who the hell the Legends of. Oh my god. Okay, apparently Runeterra is not a searchable thing on the. God, geez, oh my. So poorly done! there's currently 2.5 thousand viewers, and then Hearthstone has 20,000.
Yeah, it is weird that Legends of Runeterra doesn't like. Ooh, NCAA 2014 has 15,000 viewers.
I don't know how.
That's very odd.
Must be
so.
Actually, there's probably sports fanatics going, I need my sports.
Or I almost wonder if that's like a conglomeration of like all. I don't know.
No, they would. No. No. Do it like that.
Interesting. So I have another serious question for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
It is this summer sale of Nintendo Switch.
I have not looked at the sales simply because I've been playing the shit out of a game. So purposely I have all my time taken up and I can't focus on the sales, but believe
okay.
me, unfortunately I'm getting pretty close.
Fair enough.
I think. And so I'm going to catch some of the sale.
Nice. Yeah. There's two games I have an eye on, but we'll see if I break down and given to the needs.
Yes.
Because we all have needs, man.
Oh, Lord, don't we? Okay, so in the interesting world that we live in today, there was, I unfortunately, someone sent me this topic, so I have not been able to research it completely because they literally sent it right before the show.
Oh, okay.
But
we'll take it anyways.
in this crazy upside down wackadoodle crazy world, because I'm just going to see crazy, 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 crazy. You know, there's a lot of things changing in a lot of different sports and a lot of different places, organizations, sure. All that stuff. Well, it turns out that there will be 7 Magic the Gathering cards that will be completely removed from the game because of racism.
Hmm.
Let's see here. 7 cards in all, dating back to 1994, are now banned from play. Their images will also be removed from the game's official online database.
Wow.
Let's see if I could find... the list of now banned cards is, and I don't have the pictures, so I mean, if you really want to, you can Google it, but Invoke Prejudice, Cleanse, Stone Throwing Devils, Pradesh Gypsies, Jihad, Imprison, and Crusade. One card in particular, Invoke Prejudice, was singled out. It shows a hooded executioner with a black axe. If opponent casts a summon spell that does not match the color of one of the creatures under your control, that spell is countered, says the card. It effectively kills off creatures that don't look like the creatures already on the table.
Hmm.
That's deep.
Maybe I'm not, like, with it enough. I just, I don't know. I mean, it's referencing, like, Magic the Gathering, like, mana colors. I don't know.
No, I mean, I...
Because, like, I'm looking at the card right now. Like, I Googled it, and I'm curious. Yeah. I mean, it's a guy with a black hood. I mean, he almost does kind of look like a black KKK guy with the hood.
Yeah.
And he's got his black axe. I don't know. I don't know. Because, like, you know, there's, like, another card that, like, grants bonuses to white creatures, which destroys black creatures. I mean, like, you're a white deck in the black deck because black is the color of death in regards to, like, the little death skull mana color. That's what you're killing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Crusade. I remember that card. That was like the best white card because it gave all your white creatures, because you're a white deck, +1/+1. I mean, I don't know. I just never would have considered that a racist card, personally.
Okay, this one, the Jihad one, choose a color. As long as opponent has color cards of this color in play, all white creatures gain +2/+1.
I mean, if you want to read into it that way, I mean, what about this? What if there was, like, another magical name for white creatures? What if they were called, like, angelic creatures, right? So, blah, 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 blah. All creatures gain +2/+1 if they're angelic creatures. Would that change it, or is it just simply because it's using the word white?
I think it's probably the use of the word white. I mean, you got the another magic card, Cleanse. All mm-hmm. black creatures in play are destroyed.
Maybe that's just me. Just my personal, you know, opinion. I think that's reading too much into it, just personally.
This one I don't understand. The Pradesh Gypsies, and I might be missing something totally, but it is a green card. It's a green and then 2 uncolored mana.
Yeah, I see it.
One colorless and then 1 green. Tap target creature gets -2/-0 until end of turn.
Is it because it's a gypsy card and there's potentially something derogatory with being a gypsy?
Mysterious people indeed. Their origins are as secret as their tradition. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. So I guess. It's been a long time since I played Magic, but are these the only cards that actually reference, like, white versus black? Right. Yeah, I feel like there were more. Like, that's just kind of my gut. I just kind of feel like there was more cards that reference like the color of your deck. And obviously, because like, you know, when you're looking at the cards, the white or black or green or blue was obviously not referring to the picture of who is on the card. It was to the background of the card, because that was like your mana source.
So that Invoke Prejudice one got like a double strike because they Wizards of the Coast stated that it was racist, but also the multiverse ID, which is basically every single card has an ID number that ends on the URL. That for that card, the ID is 1488, which is a white supremacy number.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So
that I think they could have changed.
Yes. Okay. So we had a question from the audience about what are our thoughts about the PlayStation 5? And I said, give me a second. We'll talk about that router that that's being called the PlayStation 5. Zelius, thoughts?
Honestly, it wasn't as... I was personally looking for more information. Like, I know there's going to be games about it, games on the PlayStation 5.
Right.
Just my personal opinion, I was looking for more information about, like, pricing and, like, what is the, like, backwards compatibility and what is, like, the features of the actual game, which I know there's already been some. So that was kind of my opinion. That's just kind of my opinion where like they came out with games. Some of the games look cool. I mean, you have another Zero Dawn Horizon, which I have not played the first one, but it's going to be amazing. Yeah. Spider-Man on the PS4, I've heard is amazing.
Yep.
So they're coming. So they're like the games that they've talked about. It sounds like they're going to be the hits. And then, you know, they're remastering, Demon Souls.
Mm-hmm.
So the remastering, that's it. Sounds like the games that they're doing are going to be major hits. You know, they're coming out swinging with first-person titles.
Well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, so it seems like the games are going to be cool. So yay, the actual console itself looks like basically my wireless router from like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just without the antennas.
Yeah. It's the Cisco version.
Yeah.
Cisco
it's interesting.
Cisco went through those routers that didn't have any antennas. So it looked sleeker. I do like I'm going to be honest with you. I do like Sony attempt at this, and I think that Sony got it right this time. Having a digital version that doesn't have a disk drive, so it's like
that is interesting. Yeah,
you know, I mean, being able to do this after the disaster that was the PSP Go, but the thing is, by announcing that it's coming out, and it's coming out basically right at the same time as the one that has the disk drive.
Interesting.
You know, then you've got your options. And that, to me, is, you know, because the biggest problem with, and I know this is going to date me a little bit, but the biggest problem with the PSP Go was that you couldn't transfer any of your games from your PSP to your Go. If they were the, was it UHD? Is that the
oh,
format?
Oh, gosh.
There was no way to transfer that to your Go. Mm-hmm. So it was literally a fancy paperweight. Unless you had a couple digital games that you wanted to play, which I thought was totally crap. But, okay, so...
But again, I'll be curious. Like, what is the price differencing between the two?
True.
So, you know, it's $50, $100, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what I'll be curious of, to see what the price difference is. I'm assuming that other than that, there will be no difference internally than the actual, you know, whatever your size hard drive is or solid state drive, because it's going to be super solid state drive.
Yeah.
All that stuff. I'm assuming everything else would be identical. The interesting thing is also, you know, everything's been going to online. So, you know, if you have the disk drive, you still have the potential to buy the used game market, you know, down the road, obviously. Whereas now, if you don't, obviously you no longer have that choice.
Right.
To do that at all, which, you know, the publishers are obviously going to love that idea, as will Sony, because then they get a cut of the online store. So it's not surprising at all, but they still have that option, obviously, when you can do that. So, yeah. I think it's interesting, though, that it's right away. It's not like, I would have been less surprised if it was the console right away with the disc drive. Boom, here's your edition. And then like a year later, it's like, oh, here's your slimmed down version without the disc drive.
I wouldn't do that. Right now, everything's going digital. So people will, in my opinion, this you know, I and ladies and gentlemen of the audience, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the vast majority of the world understands that there is a change happening, that we are going from hard copies of games to a digital library, digital distribution. So if Sony were to come out with just a drive version and not a a digital only thing, I think that a lot of people would be scratching their head, because there are going to be people. Okay, first of all, there are going to be people who buy the PlayStation 5 because it's a 4K Blu-ray player. They're not going to give a shit about the games. It's got Sony and it plays Blu-rays. That's what they're buying it for. And then you have the people who are going to be gamers. There's got to be a price break, and I would assume, now, you know, once again, I'm assuming, I don't have any concrete details, but I would assume that the digital one probably even has a bigger hard drive than the one with drive.
You think so?
Yeah.
I assume they're going to be identical. That's my guess.
Why would you hamstring yourself like that? I mean, what is the difference?
The drive. That's going to be the difference. Is the Blu-ray Super Drive. That's the difference. I think everything. That's my guess.
But I don't think that's a big enough difference to do two different consoles. I think that the digital only is going to have a bigger hard drive. It's got to, because you're removing the drive, which could house some of the data that you're going to be utilizing on the disc.
I guess we'll see.
I guess we will see, Celius. I do have, okay, this is a rumor, okay? I need to just, you know, I was talking to an individual today about conventions, and they had heard, possibly, through the grapevine, that PAX Prime, PAX West, whatever the hell you want to call it, is going to be canceled. Now,
really?
If you look on PAX's website, you look everywhere, ain't nothing up there. They haven't actually said anything since the end of April. But that being said, my source says that there's whispers of PAX being canceled.
When is PAX Prime again?
Same time as Dragon Con.
Interesting. And see, the way I've kind of felt, like the way things have gone, at least in Georgia, is I'm actually, if you asked me 2 months ago, I would have been like, Dragon Con's going to get canceled.
Yep.
Now I'm actually trending towards Dragon Con will go on. It might not be as populated or whatever,
It can't. The social restrictions.
Could be lifted by then in Georgia.
Not to that amount.
I don't know, man.
Okay, right now I think we can have like a gathering of 10 people, right?
No, it's much larger than that. I mean, churches are getting together. I would not be. Georgia.
You made me so angry that I accidentally froze your picture again.
I would not be surprised if in Georgia by then, come September, Labor Day, that restrictions are lifted. I'm not saying it's right.
No, they will be lifted. We will be hit with a second wave.
Well, and it'll be right in time. It'll be like the week after Dragon Con, and we'll all know why it was caused, because everyone was at Dragon Con.
Yep.
The great second wave of Dragon Con.
Okay. I'm not talking about politics.
So I've still been thinking about this whole Magic the Gathering thing.
Yes.
I just can't get, and I guess the other way I can look at it too, which I can also By the same token, you know, on one hand, I'm kind of like, eh, I don't know if I get it. But on the other hand, I also can't really be annoyed at Wizards of the Coast for trying to be proactive to, in their estimation, look at what is potentially racist in their cards and eliminate those. So I can totally understand that perspective and get behind that. So on one hand, maybe like, I don't get it, but just because I don't get it doesn't mean that they didn't make the right choice, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I think, to be honest with you, I think at this point, since they basically went through their entire card catalog back to like 94,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they probably had like a spreadsheet of this card has offended this many people. And then when, because the world is a changing, there's a lot of things changing with, you know, the Confederate flag in America
and
by itself.
Did you see NASCAR banned the Confederate flag?
Yep.
The last bastion of Southernness.
Also military bases have banned it.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I mean, the thing is, I'm pretty sure that, I mean, I'm not saying what they did, what they've done is not awesome, but I think it's one of those, we're not going to do anything until shit hits the fan, and then we're going to look cool. I think,
but in this case, and that's what I've been trying to figure out, though, to be honest, mm-hmm. that I can't quite figure out with these cards, mm-hmm. was like, I didn't really see any public shaming or outcry over these cards from Wizards of the Coast. Like, I didn't really see a whole lot of it. I almost feel like, in a way, Wizards of the Coast was actually trying to be proactive in this.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think if they were, and that's just kind of what I've been, you know, in the last 10 minutes seeing, and if they are being proactive about it before shit hits the roof, I actually think that's better off than being reactive.
Right.
So in that regard, I could be like, okay, I can understand where they're coming from. And, you know, the less you can do to, you know, offend, that's not the worst thing ever. So, you know, I've been thinking about it more. I'm like, okay, I get where Wizards of the Coast is coming from. And, you know, I'm not going to be... It's really hard for me also to be angry at a company for trying to be socially conscious. Like, that is kind of where I draw a line. Like, just because I don't quite maybe always agree, I also can't fault a company for wanting to be socially cognizant and aware and taking proactive steps.
True. Like I said, I'm not trying to downplay what they've done. I think it's amazing. I think it's, you know, things are changing, and this is, you know, a step in the right direction. I'm with you. I looked at some of these cards, and I scratched my head a little bit. I understand that there are, you know, like the Geod ones, you know, that could be, you know,
yeah, of. I can, yeah.
And the Gypsy one, yeah, I could see that as well. You know, I could see there's some that I'm like, okay, yes. I think the names of some of them, I think the art of some of them. However, I know for a fact that there are, you know, there's at least when we were playing Magic Gathering, there were multiple artistic renditions of cards. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
So like the Invoke Prejudice one, for instance, I mean, it's basically a black person in a KKK hoodie saying Invoke Prejudice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's some connotation there.
Yep.
But for reference, it was also from 1994. So we're talking, what, 26 years ago? It was all, I mean, the reality was, it was also a different social atmosphere.
Oh, God,
then.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's also companies realizing, you know, what they did 20, 25 years ago that nobody would have raised an eye at.
Can't do it
that's
now.
That's just, no.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing that people are aware of it, too. Because, you know, there is a good chance that somewhere along the line, you know, some young person may have seen this card and being like, wow, why am I supporting a company like this who is doing this to their cards?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm not, you know, like I said, I'm not going to, I'm happy that they did that. And I'm sure, and they've even come out and said that this is, that they're going to continue to look, to scrub through all of their archives and see if there's any other cards that meet this, this new action.
So, indeed.
What was I going to say? Gosh darn it.
Not him. What were we talking about? Wait, we were talking about the PS5 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I circled it back to this.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen the...
Oh, you were talking about PAX and Dragon Con.
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure. Like I said, don't quote me on it, but I would not be surprised if we find out some information in the near future that says PAX has been postponed or canceled.
Well, PAX Prime's Washington, Seattle, yep. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, the only reason I think Dragon Con may happen just because Georgia's been loosening up, but Georgia's also loosening up much quicker than other states.
I don't want to talk about Georgia.
I just say from a logistical standpoint, that's why I'd see harder for PAX Prime doing it because other states aren't being quite as
idiotic.
Fast and loose.
Playing with the numbers?
So many numbers, sir. So many numbers.
Lying to people? I'm sorry. There's going to be a new Hitman game on the PlayStation 5, which looks phenomenal.
I will say, the other reason I am tempted to get a new PS5 or Xbox, mm-hmm. whatever it is, mm-hmm. is because I do have the 4K HDR TV now.
Nice.
And that was one of the reasons I'm like, ooh, the console.
Yep.
So I'm a little bit tempted from that regard. My one, there's always the like, do I wait? And of course, the question is always,
mm-hmm.
what we've seen from consoles now is basically iterations within the cycle, right?
Yep.
So from both the PS4 and the Xbox 360, you've seen Xbox X, sorry, I forgot we're on a different console now,
yep.
is you're seeing like, even within the same cycle, you're seeing consoles with better graphics.
Mm-hmm.
So is it worth waiting out for that new shinier console?
That is a personal question that each one of us has to answer.
I mean, I guess by the same time, isn't that true of any electronic? You can
yes.
always wait
oh, absolutely.
3 years and get the newer and shinier, but then you'll never get any new and shiny.
Or you could just do the trade-in. Just like when it's time to, when it's time to upgrade, you trade in your first model.
That is true, because it would still be worth a good bit of pennies.
Yep.
That's a good point.
Yep. I got the smarts from time to time.
It's what we pay you with the Atlanta Rain hat for.
Yeah. Which, speaking of which, I think they're doing okay right now. I haven't checked on the... I have been trying to avoid the Overwatch League... not because I don't want to watch it, but because I kind of accidentally got my kid.
Oh, no.
Really wanting to see it. So I've basically been trying to distance myself from it so that I don't, so I'm not, he doesn't catch me watching it. And that's weird, but you got to protect the kids. Atlanta's sitting at 6-6. So they're right. I mean, they're in the middle of the pack. So.
There's always time. There's always time.
Okay. So riddle me this. How long has Destiny 2 been out? And like, because they're now going, oh, look at this. These 3 more years of Destiny 2. I'm like, what now?
Destiny 2. Oh, gosh. I want to say about 4-ish years, if I remember off the top of my head. I remember when I started playing it. Was released 2017, so 3 years.
Yeah.
So part of why they said that so many more years is because they're basically going to be cycling out entire campaigns.
Wait, what?
So you have like different planets, right? Like
yep.
Mars and Io and whatever.
Yep.
And basically during seasons, I guess, is how they're going to do it. And I guess to try to keep the game fresh, is they're going to be basically cycling out entire planets that you can basically no longer go to for some period of time.
That sounds stupid.
And they've also been sunsetting weapons. So there's like certain weapons. That's, I think, how they're trying to play Destiny 2, basically. Is the idea is by sunsetting weapons, so you have to grind for new weapons. You just continue your old ones, and by also basically cycling weapons.
You're gonna sunset my awesome weapon to force me to play some POS gun? I don't think so.
Basically, from the way I've seen that they're cycling it, I have no desire to play the game. I mean, plenty of other MMOs have a way to do the treadmill without basically making feel like your works has been absolutely worthless.
It's called limited time events. You make a limited time planet or weapon available to draw the people in, and then you rotate those limited planets or weapons. You don't start removing shit.
Well, it'll come back eventually.
Yeah, but it's... Okay, so let me get this
I think it's dumb.
So let me get this right, okay? Bungie has decided to take the Disney Movie Vault approach. They're just going to take shit away, and they're going to lock it away. And at some random-ass time, they're going to be like, oh, by the way, we're bringing it back.
And the other interesting thing is apparently from the free version, if they're like, I haven't played since it went free to play, but basically now if you join free to play, it just basically drops you in the game with no, it's like so before, right? When you first played, you know, you did the pretty much single player missions, campaigns. So you kind of learned everything as you went along. Now it just throws you in to the deep end. Good luck. Hope you can swim.
Interesting.
It's just, I basically have no incentive to want to jump into the game. Versus like I've been playing PSO2, which beats you over the head with trying to teach new players how to play the game.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, anywho. Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to take, as we do every single week, I want to take a couple of minutes out here and give a shout out to all of these amazing friends and fans of the show. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let me talk to you about the first one. The first one is called the Indie Cluster. The Indie Cluster is created by Ron Jones. He is an amazing individual out of Atlanta, Georgia. He basically, the Indie Cluster is basically kind of ultra confusionist. Oh, Lord, I'm making up words now.
We like new words. Make them all up.
Basically, the Indie Cluster, what they do is they go to the local conventions. They get a large, like, expo spot, and then they try to kind of share the cost for that area so that more independent developers can get their stuff seen, which is awesome. It's phenomenal. They do it at Momocon. They do it Southern... Oh, my gosh. What is that called? The fried chicken one. Southern Fried Chicken? No. Damn it.
Yeah, Southern Fried Chicken.
Yeah, Southern Fried Chicken.
Southern Fried Chicken Game Expo.
Sam Grizzle! Maple syrup.
Grizzled!
But Indie Cluster, definitely check them out. Definitely support them. If you see them out there, say what's up. Okay.
What's up?
The next shout out, of course, has to go to the one and only Dr. Ryan, Hero Chiropractic. He has been my chiropractor for over 3 years now. He has been my saving grace with the long gaming sessions and gaming chairs and whatnot. If you are in the Atlanta, around the Atlanta area, I highly recommend that you go check out HeroChiropractic.com or, of course, just go on Facebook, type in Hero Chiropractic. He comes to you, which is the best part. He comes to you, ladies and gentlemen. And
that sounds sneaky.
And he does, and he can work some magic.
Ooh, like the two-hand special magic, if you know what I mean.
No, he will make... joints cracked that you didn't know you had.
That sounds painful.
It is. No, it's well, it is briefly, and then you're like, oh my God, this feels much better. Okay, let's do a shout out to our local food place. That, of course, is Battle and Brew. Battle and Brew in Sandy Springs, Georgia, just north of the 285 Roswell Road intersection. Battle and Brew is really, I mean, it is the place for individuals like ourselves to go. It's got PCs ready for gaming. It's got TVs with consoles, got board games, got card games, has a phenomenal menu, and of course, a variety of drinks, some of which are so delicious.
How delicious?
So delicious.
Oh, I want some deliciousness.
You may have to be careful. Those blue mana potions don't taste like they're going to hurt, but they'll hurt later. Sam Grizzle, Battle and Brew sort of did close last year. They changed management. A new company came in and bought them, and so they're still alive and kicking. They've changed a couple things up as well. One of the changes that they did was changing the age requirements. So, and finally, ladies and gentlemen, we do not want to miss an opportunity to do a shout out to Nerdburger Games.
What kind of games?
Nerdburger Games.
Like cheeseburgers?
Nerdburgers. Now, of course, Nerdburger Games is created by Craig Campbell, an amazing mastermind for pencil and paper RPGs. He's created titles such as Mergers and Acquisitions, Capers, and several additional versions of Capers, Die Laughing, and I always forget there's another one, but I can never remember what it is. Zealy, tell me out. What's the other game I'm missing?
Those are the main ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like Capers, M&A, and Die Laughing are the main ones.
Okay, I thought there was there's a fourth one off the side that's...
Well, he's got like these little like side games.
Yeah.
So he has like little side games you can purchase that's like its own little stand alone thing.
And also, if you ever wanted to know how to do a successful Kickstarter, you need to look this guy up.
He knows things.
I mean, shit, I've backed all of his stuff. And so you have, I did Mergers Acquisitions. I did Capers, the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, and also Die Laughing. So for me alone, he's had six, you know, successful Kickstarters. So, you know, if you want to learn a thing or two, that's who you need to learn from.
Nice.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, since we tooted everyone else's horn, we're going to toot mine. That sounded wrong.
You're going to toot your own horn? Woo! Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, of course, Alter Confusion is an independent video game news review site. We've been around since 2007. So we are now in our 13th year. I know that things have changed mightily since the beginning. And we continue to... Okay. First, let me stop right there, Sam. Unless you want to write a Battlefield 1 review and then I post it on the website, that's the only way you're going to see it. All right. Anyways, being sidetracked. So Alter Confusion, the way that Alter Confusion has continued to function is through, strong-headedness, never say die mentality, and basically out of my wallet. And I once upon a time was stupid enough to try to break down those finances and it made me cry. So,
alligator tears.
No, they're real. They're not crocodile tears. Crocodile tears are the fake ones. So ladies and gentlemen, what we have now in place is we have a couple things to help for you to help us. If you want to help us out financially, there are two options. The first one is Patreon. Patreon is basically a way for you, the supporters, the followers, the audience members, all the awesomeness that follows us. It's a monthly donation system. You could donate starting at $1 all the way up. I believe there are two or three tiers on the Alter Confusion Patreon page. If you decide that you want to do a monthly donation that's higher than any of the tiers, hit me up because I'm going to give you something special. I do not want you, as I say so many times, I would be beyond excited that you would want to give more than a certain tier, but I don't want you not to get your money's worth. So, you know, if you could donate $1, that's amazing. If you donate more, that'd be even more beautiful. If you want to do a donation, but you don't want to commit to a monthly donation, you could do a one-time donation. It's through our PayPal account. If you're watching this on Twitch, it's in the box below this video. I think it's a donate now button. And if you're not watching this on Twitch, You can always go to our website, www.alteredconfusion.com, or as the cool kids would do it, they just Google Altered Confusion. And on the left-hand bar for now is a Donate Now button, and that, of course, will donate. Now, I know that there, Sam has already pointed out in the chat that Altered Confusion survives on Funko Pops. Let me put this out here. Ladies and gentlemen, I love the fact that people are sending me Funko Pops, but let me say a couple things. One, if you send me Funko Pops, put your name on the damn box so I can thank you.
No, it must be a surprise.
Number two, if you want to send something to the show, it does not have to be a Funko Pop. I would be more than happy and honored to, you know, to show off the new Funko Pops. But, you know, if you have something that you would like for us to show off on the Altered Confusion show, as long as it's within reason, then what you would need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is you would need to run down to your local post office or wherever you're going to be sending your stuff from. And you are going to be mailing it to the following. That is, and the following is 1551 Dunwoody Village. That's Dunwoody Village Parkway. Number, very important, this number is the P.O. box. You don't put that on there, the package does not get to us. Number 88276 Dunwoody, once again, Dunwoody, Georgia 30338. If you want to send us something physical, that's the way to do it. Now, the easiest way and the most helpful way that you can help Altered Confusion out is just by telling people. Share our post, like our comments, reshare.
That's an interesting link.
I don't know why you gave the Google map.
Sam Grizzle says Zillia
spent the Altered Confusion budget on his kick-ass gaming chair. Well, I didn't spend money on the gaming chair, but I did get a kick-ass gaming chair from a birthday. So here you go. Here's my gaming chair.
Ooh, look at you, all fancy.
Yeah. But seriously, the best way you can help out Altered Confusion is just by telling people, and then of course getting them to, getting you and them to submit topics to us via Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Discord. Now, of course, if you want to join the Discord channel, just hit us up. We'll give you the link if you're watching this live. If you are on Twitch, you could do the !! Discord. It should give you the link. If that link does not work, just hit us up. We'll get you the correct one. But we want, basically, Altered Confusion is here to create a conversation around the topics that you want to talk about. So if there's something in the nerdy gaming world that you want to talk about, we want to talk about it. What crazy-ass movie is coming out next? Do you think that this proclamation of this, graphic novel coming to a TV show is actually going to happen? Whatever it may be. Will there be a PlayStation 5 mini slim micro colorful edition? I wouldn't pass it by Sony, but probably not. I hope not. That'd be a Sega move at this point.
Nope, they like their nice and sleek, clean-cut lines now, apparently. It's all the boring.
You know, it actually looks like, it kind of reminds me of that, the fancy, like, automatic Febreze thing. You know, it, like, every, like, what's it, 5 minutes, it does a little squirt into the air. It kind of looks like one of those. Sorry, Sony. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just, pointing it out.
But it's the truth, sir.
It is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to point out that we do this every single Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
7 o'clock Central Time. 9 o'clock Central Time. Wait, no. Oh, my gosh. Wait. I'm going backwards to my time zones.
I don't even know what time it is.
What time is it now here in Atlanta?
It's 9
I don't even know.
In Atlanta right now.
Are we sure?
Yes.
I don't know. Anyways, summer. I don't even know what time zone I'm in.
Basically, we do this live show every single Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Go Google the time for your time zone if it's not Eastern Standard. And we do it about for an hour and 15 minutes-ish. Depends on the show. But what I can tell you is that we do indeed thrive on you providing us topics. I mean, sure,
yes,
we can find topics on the internet. But as you've seen, we've had a couple of people ask about the PlayStation 5 and Battlefield 1 again. Sorry, Sam. but seriously, we want to make this a conversation. Now, the other thing about Ultra Confusion is that I do a stream on Sundays and Tuesdays. I'm trying to sneakily add some additional, like, random streaming.
Ooh, in there. Fascinating.
But the kids are asleep, and my wife's with outside of earshot, so I can say this. She doesn't watch the show or listen to it, so... I'm trying to find blocks of time where the kids aren't going to be near me so I can play like an hour worth of gaming.
Sneaky.
So that I could stream. Because the thing is, I have kind of dropped off the streaming. And if I do stream, then it's just that Sundays or Tuesdays. And sometimes I don't do that. You know, then it's like a week off. And I need to get streaming more. One, because my gaming talents are going down the toilet. And two, I don't get
what kind of toilet, though?
One in a rest stop that's never seen the light of day.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. Oh, I don't know why this... Okay, this is a weird-ass jumping off point here, or tangent or whatever. But I have... I don't know how to put this. So, as Zelius has said many, many times, he's an FPS player for PC, keyboard and mouse.
Indeed.
And I have gone on record several times in the past saying that when I'm playing Paladins, I much rather play it on a controller than on keyboard and mouse.
Oh, okay.
Well, I just came back to Paladins for the first time in like 2 years, and some of the settings have changed.
Oh, dear.
And so... I'm kind of juggling this situation where do I want to, you know, dick around with the settings and make the controller feel exactly how I want it to feel? Or do I start learning keyboard and mouse?
You know, so it's actually an interesting question about keyboard binds, right? Mm-hmm. So, for instance, like on the gamepad, when I was playing Secrets of Mana, like my Y was my heavy attack, but then you jump to a different game like PSO2 and Y is now all of a sudden jump. So it's like my muscle memory for like what a key should automatically do. It's like totally different. So then it's like, I spend a lot of time, like think like, okay, dude, like you would think in theory, the developer made the key binds, like what is ideal for that game. Mm-hmm. So do you go ahead and change it to what your muscle memory is based off of, or do you like try to retrain your brain for what the developers suggested keybinds are? It's a great question.
Yes, and that's actually something I'm dealing with right now in the game that I'm playing on the Switch, because they have B as crouch and A as jump.
Yes.
And I keep hitting B thinking I'm gonna jump, and then I crouch. I'm like, you son of a bitch. And then the vast majority of the time when I'm doing interactions, it's actually Y and not A. So I'm just like, I don't know what's going on. Sam Grizzle.
It's tough.
Yeah. Sam Grizzle says, interesting topic. EA Sports put Black Lives Matter messages on their online games today. Regardless of the message, strange they decided to add politics into games, seeming like a dicey move. People don't play games to hear politics. Thoughts? I think it's
so the BLM was actually like, in the game itself, if you played it?
Yeah, it's a... I think it's a screen that pops up.
That's interesting.
Now, I'm okay, the thing is... I think there's going to be more people that are going to be okay with it. Just the opening screen. I think there's going to be more people that are okay with it than are going to be bugged by it. Because I think if you have a positive response... then you should share it. You know, it's like all the companies out there are you know, they're posting stuff online to show their support. So I don't think, you know, it goes back to the discussion we were having a little bit earlier when it comes to the Magic the Gathering cards. Is this, you know, Unfortunately, we live in a very cynical world. So is this an actual heartfelt move, or is this, we want to cover our bases so people don't come after us? I couldn't tell you I couldn't tell you which way or that about it, but as long as it's something that is brief, I don't see, you know, I mean, there's a lot of games out there that have a random ass load screen that's shit. I'm not saying that that's shit. I'm just saying that I think by showing the awareness of the charge in the atmosphere of this situation, I think that that's, you know, they're showing that they're aware, and it's going to play out better for them than if they were to just ignore it or do what. If you want to see some craziness, Google the OK Cafe in Atlanta and read that story.
I don't know. What's that one?
That lady crazy.
Ah, the crazy. So, but I also hear what Sam is saying. Like, you play, like, to me, I also play games as a form of escapism.
Yes, yes.
So I'm kind of trying to escape from the real world. And then, like, I see, like, a protest message, which I'm fine with. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, damn, our world sucks.
Yes, and I could definitely see that as well. Now, I'm assuming, God damn it, I keep doing this, and I apologize to anyone who's watching the stream. Zealous keeps pausing because...
Did you just curse at me, sir?
Yes. Zealous keeps pausing because for some reason, Streamlabs OBS, when I click on Chrome, it will pause Zealous's video.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that last week.
Yeah. Shit. What was I going to say? Damn it, now I completely lost the train of thought.
I understand.
To be honest with you, I do need that escapism. I will fully admit that I have been much more gun-shy about even venturing into any type of, like, media dispensary, be it truthful or opinionated or rumors or just out, you know, downright wrong.
It's all rumors, sir.
So yes, having that pop up. Now, you know, I don't know exactly what the screen looks like, so I don't, you know, give me a second. I need to find another browser so I don't actually block.
Pause me again.
Yeah.
Well, you're gonna lock me out for life, man.
BLL sign EA Games. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah, let's see here.
Whoops, wrong EA. What? Oh, never mind. Wow. Wow, people are...
I'm not reading comments. I will not read comments. I'm just reading an article.
Yeah.
I don't want to read the comments because I already know what they're going to be.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. Tomorrow we had committed to celebrating... No, that's the...
Okay, this is cool.
What?
So EA, they are, if a employee donates to the causes in June, in this case, the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund and Equal Justice Initiative, EA will double match their donations. If an employee donates $100, EA will give $200 to the same organization.
That's good. Okay, I'm trying to see. Okay, here we go. Here you go. This is the one from FIFA. Black Lives Matter, the deep-rooted and systemic racial discrimination that is still unquestionably present toward the African-American black community is unacceptable. Racism, whether from an individual or an institution, should not exist in our society. We stand with all of our African-American / black players, families, friends, colleagues, and partners in our commitment to fighting racism and social injustice. Now, this is tricky.
So Call of Duty also has a message, also has a Black Lives Matter message in the game too, out in the lobby.
See, the thing is, damn it, I don't even know how to. Oh, here's the Madden one. Oh, shit, I thought I had the Madden one. What the hell? I keep clicking it and then it goes to a different thing. Seriously, what the shiznit? Anywho.
Yeah, it's
Here's NHL, the deep-rooted and systemic racial discrimination that is still unquestionably present toward the African American Black community is unacceptable. It's basically the same statement, but from each of the development teams.
I'm surprised too, because if I, I always think of publishers very cynically, and all they care about is the bottom line. And my inclination, being a cynic of the world, is that if anything, this would cause them to, in the long run, well, not the long run, the short term, lose money because you're going to have players who will get pissed off, stupidly, mind you, they'll get pissed off about this and like give up on EA or Activision or whoever's doing this. But I also don't see players, like if they were already playing Call of Duty, for instance, they're not going to start playing Call of Duty because there's also a Black Lives message in the game. But if I'm a player who is buying maps in Call of Duty and I get pissed off about a Black Lives Matter message in the game and I stop playing, that's what I see being more than likely to happen. But if they're also playing the long game, players in the long game might remember messages of support and activism for developers and be more willing to play their games down the road because they feel that they are in the right. Yeah.
Once again, being the cynical person that I am, I think that this is more of a this is more of a we need to make a statement. 'Cause to be honest with you, EA has not been all that awesome when it comes to racial issues and their games.
Or you look at, of course, Activision had the whole censoring of pro Kong Hong protest messages where they're actively censoring those. So it's on one hand, okay, you're sponsoring the protests, which I support. But on the other hand, you've been shown to basically, if you know emphatically, it's going to hurt your bottom line, which pissing off China will hurt your bottom line. That's where they draw the line.
You bend over and you take it from China. Sam Griddle said nobody has a problem with the message; it's the location of the message, a game people paid for, and I can understand that because it is a full screen message. It's not, it's not tiny. Not to. I think that I personally don't have an issue. However, I could see that many people don't want to see that slammed in their face. First of all, I don't have a humongous TV, so seeing that, in big ass bold across the entire screen, that's probably a little bit daunting. I think
I'm also a little bit like, okay, you log into, in this case, Call of Duty, you see the message, and then it's kind of gone. So, on one hand, okay, you get your boxers in a bundle for like 10 seconds when you see your message on the screen in the lobby. And then you jump into a game. I think it would also be a little bit different if it was like a constant line going across the screen as you're playing.
So ticker.
Yeah, thank you. Ticker is the right word. So if it was a ticker going across the screen, then I think from an actual gameplay perspective of now it's actually distracting me, now I might be a little bit more bothered. But to me, it's just a login message at a screen that you just kind of pass it and go on.
It's an addition. It's literally an additional pop-up.
Yeah, I think it's in a way it's kind of to me like the Magic the Gathering cards.
Yeah.
Like on one hand, like it doesn't bother me, but on the other hand, I can see why people look at like either they're for or against it. So like in this case, I'm like, okay, I can kind of see both sides.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Of both of those cases. I think the Magic the Gathering one's a little bit more straightforward, where I think it's pretty straightforward to ban those cards. It's pretty hard to have an argument for why you should keep the cards necessarily.
Yeah.
But I think in this case of our video games, I think it's, in my personal opinion at least, easier to have an argument for not having those messages in the game at all, because people play video games as a form of escapism. That's just kind of the way I look at video games. Like, you know, it's kind of like I play Call of Duty. Like, I play Call of Duty because I'm not going to, well, not because, but I would never shoot somebody in real life.
That's why I don't play Call of Duty. Because I won't, because it's too close. It's too realistic. Now, reading a little bit, of course, you know, I'm trying to read this as fast as I can so I can get as much information as possible. But it appears that this was actually an internal move from the development teams. EA has been striving to have a more diverse culture for developers and whatnot. So I believe that this is probably more of a move from the development level. And once a couple of development studios started rallying, I'm pretty sure EA goes, yeah, okay. Like I said, there's never going to be a perfect way to do this. And yes, I could see that it could be seen as trying to, you know, shove an opinion down someone's throat. But also, you know, it could be, I don't know. This is a topic that could go on and on and on and on and on forever. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah. There's no right answer.
Yeah, I'm just...
Why no coronavirus message? How about global warming? Okay.
And I think that's the, you know, that's kind of where I look at the Magic the Gathering cards in a way, mm-hmm. is my gut feeling, there's probably other cards that you could look at and be like, WTF, mate.
Right, absolutely.
That's why I was actually surprised there's only 7, to be honest. I would have expected that, just if you look at the sheer volume of Magic cards over the years, yep. I would just expect it to be more than 7 cards that are offensive to people, not just 7.
No, I'm just, so, and I think that comes to the point of, I bet you they have a spreadsheet of like the number of complaints against certain cards, and they're just like, okay, if it's at this threshold of complaints, then we'll ban it. And so it's like the top 7 were, I don't know, there's probably like a million or something per card. Now, Sam, about why no coronavirus message, and how about global warming?
It depends
on the government, to be honest with you. That's really what it comes down to. EA is a U.S. company, North American company. So they're going to put it in there because it's theirs. When it comes to coronavirus, you know, you got to deal with, well, I'm pretty sure that the Chinese government would kill you or silence you. Brazil would spin it to say that it's all a trick to remove the president from power. I mean, I think it becomes a little more complicated. Global warming is always going to be a fight.
The one angle I could see for, you know, a message that is geared at racism, mm-hmm. versus the real issues of like coronavirus and global warming, mm-hmm. is that racism bleeds well into video games, and that people can use, you know, the N-word and other things in video games and be hyperly racist in video games. And in theory, a message like a message of support for Black Lives Matter is telling gamers that we don't, that there is no tolerance for racism in our video games. Which then to me, then the question would be that follows from that is, okay, so, you know, you're EA, you have, what is it? What's their game? I always get who has what esports games over. But okay, so if your game, does that mean now, by the same token, you've approach this day, you know, message against racism in the lobby? Are you also now going to take a more proactive approach in the game as far as chat and audio, et cetera, over, in this case, I think nothing less than banning people who are being racist.
Apex
because
Legend.
It follows to me that if you're going to have a anti-racist statement in a lobby, then you also have to kind of follow through and basically come down with the ban hammer on people who are being inactive racist. And I know this could come off as co-opting the Black Lives Movement in general, which I'm not trying to do, but we've also talked a number of times, because to me, it's not just about racism. It's also about equality in general. And we also look at the, to me, one of the biggest issues in video games is sexism, right?
Yep.
So if you're going to, it's not an argument. It's not about like, I mean, nothing pisses me off more than All Lives Matter. That's just stupid. It's a non sequitur. But in this case, if you're going for Black Lives Matter, which is fine, does it mean that you're also going to come down in other forms of isms, basically? In this case, very specifically, sexism is extremely prevalent in video games.
Especially in Riot games.
Specifically misogyny.
Yep.
And so is this maybe a wake-up call to publishers and developers of video games that racism and sexism don't have place any place in their video games?
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, that's kind of why we're protesting and shit, is because these isms are still very active in everyday life. And anybody who says otherwise has a giant sheet over their eyes.
And to play the pessimist yet again, this could simply be a CYA. We did it now, so we don't have to do it later. Is that the extent of their support? Is, you know, it's a hot button topic, so we'll match the money and we'll throw this screen up, but then everything will go back to normal. That, I think, the what happens in the long run is going to mean more than pissing off some people because they threw up a screen for a couple weeks.
And I think that would have given it more, to me, oomph.
Yeah.
Okay. If they said, you know, again, they would have to back this up. Okay. You know, you have your lobby message,
yep,
Hashtag Black Lives Matter. And then hell, you have a next message that is like, we are, in order to support the messages of racism is wrong, we are hiring another team of whatever you want to call it to basically monitor chat and games, et cetera, for blatant racism.
Mm-hmm.
So we're putting our resources where our activism is. We're not just saying it. We're also following that up to proactively try to stamp out racism in our game. I think that would give it a lot more, because I kind of feel the same way. Okay, see the hashtag. What does that actually mean?
Right.
But I think if you actually have, these are the actionable steps we are taking to try to combat this in the future, I think people might have a much less cynical view of the message.
Right. Only time will tell.
It is an interesting time, my friend.
Indeed. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, we have gone over our allotted time. I do want to point out that if you came in late or you're watching this or listening to this after it's been recorded, you can, of course, watch all of the videos on youtube.com/AlterConfusionLLC. Or, of course, you can listen to the audio-only version. You can do it from Podbean or you can do it from the iTunes podcast store. And I feel like we're still in the Zune podcast store. You're wrong. I don't know how, but anyways, we do this every single Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I want to thank everyone for tuning in to the Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout. For myself, Charlie, and Zelius, it's been a pleasure giving you everything coming out of our heads, our mouths, and of course, our hearts. We'll be back next Thursday for another Alter Confusion Thursday Night Hangout.
Remember, kids, keep on gaming in the free world.
Amen to that, brother.